Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. We know this story well. We've heard it, I don't know how many times we've all heard this story. Oftentimes in this story, we concentrate on the fact that these lepers are healed, these people who traditionally might have been excluded from normal society, who in some Jewish circles would have been considered unclean. But I'm not sure that's what Luke is focusing on in these texts. Luke tells this story within the context of some other stories of inclusivity. I think Luke is more interested in the fact that the person who comes back to praise Jesus is a foreigner, is a Samaritan, than he is interested in leprosy. The story's pretty straightforward. As Jesus enters the village, there are 10 men there who cry out to him, "Master, have mercy." In other texts, it's Kyrie eleison. Ever heard that, choir? Sometimes I hear you sing it ad nauseum. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. And Jesus tells the 10 to do exactly what they're required to do under the law. In Leviticus, it says that if you have a skin affliction of some kind, you go and show it to the priest. And the priest will determine what the problem is. A practice I think is good to not do anymore. So he sends them to the priests, but as they're going to the priests, they are suddenly healed. One, it says, sees that he is made clean. He sees that he's been healed. And he turns back and praises God in a loud voice. And he prostrates himself at the feet of Jesus and thanks him. And then there's this little line. And he was a Samaritan. It's an easy to skip line. Except that, you see, the Samaritans, we sort of get confused about Samaritans, I think, sometimes. Samaritans were Yahweh worshippers. But there had been a time in history where the Samaritans and the Judeans got a little sideways with each other. So sideways with each other that Samaritans sort of became a negative byword for the Judeans. They were not desirable people. Not the kind of people that you would hang out with, you know, over at Wendy's. So much so that Jesus, that the Gospel of Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, will say, and he was a Samaritan. And us as modern people go, ah. It's sort of like saying, and he was from New York. Except not. This is a signal from Jesus that will set up the next part. And he says then, look, 10 were healed, but the only one who returned to give thanks and praise was this foreigner. This foreigner. And Jesus says to the Samaritan what he says so often, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. An important word. Why I think that leprosy isn't the issue in this text is what happens to the other 9? In the fair world of Scripture, we would expect that when you turn the page, it would say, and the other 9, when they got to the border, immediately found themselves covered with boils and their leprosy had returned. Right? That's justice. Getting what you deserve. But that's not Luke's point. As far as we know, at least from the scripture that we have, the nine went on their way perfectly healed. Like Naaman, again, a foreigner who comes to seek healing for his leprosy, sends a letter to the king of Israel who reads it politically. Right? Hey, by the way, I'm going to come. I hear you can heal me. Right? And the king of Israel goes, huh? He's setting me up. He's going to get here and I can't heal him. And then this commander of the forces of Aram are going to just wipe us out. But the foreigner comes and is healed. Luke seems interested in the foreignness of this person. That grace, God's healing can be extended even to the stranger, to the undesirable, even to your enemies. Luke also helps us to understand that somehow God's grace and our gratitude are connected. It is the foreigner who comes back and lays prostrate at Jesus' feet and praises God. It is the foreigner, the stranger, the undesirable, who becomes the focus of this powerful story. He is the one who becomes our model for praising God. Well, you all know how much I love the Psalms, and part of the reason that I love the Psalms, the reason that the psalm has been moved to the hymn of the day, the commentary on the sermon, is that the reason I love the psalms is that only in the psalms do you have people saying, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Oh God, you have afflicted me. God, where are you? I am sick and tired of you. My enemy is all around me and I am crushed. And at the end said, and yet, oh God, I praise you. It's such a realistic and healthy way to think about our relationship with God. In some ways, our modern theology is a sort of, gee, God, what have you done for me lately? Sort of theology. When things are going well, thank God. I think what this text does is help us to understand that God's presence is always for us and for the foreigner and for the stranger and for the undesirable, that God's grace extends beyond our own needs and our own desires, and that we are called into a life of gratefulness. Not just of healing, which is wonderful, but of being made well. At the end of the story, it says, and go, therefore, you are made well. Not only are the lesions and the afflictions and the loss of the voice that you have taken away from you, you former leper, but you are now well. What if somehow we could begin to weave in that sense of gratefulness, of thankfulness to God in each moment of our lives? Not just at the good times, an unexpected windfall from the IRS, a visit from a good friend, but also in those deep moments of despair. You all did something a few years ago for my 25th anniversary that was unexpected. You gave me a box. Remember this, Randy? Is the Alzheimer's that bad? Okay, good. Just checking. Randy made it, so he should remember. It's a box, right? Big deal. It's a box. Well, what you told me was that in the box, there's some stuff. And that in those times, when I am not feeling particularly grateful for ministry, because it turns out that sometimes this job sucks, and you get low and tired, and you might be surprised, occasionally quite angry, they said, you should look in the box. So in the box are little messages from you. Messages of encouragement. Now clearly, I apparently have not been all that depressed the last few years, because there's still a lot of cards in the box. But this is a moment of grace, you see, in the midst. And it isn't just that it makes me feel better, which is nice. What it does is it reminds me that in the midst of all of the worst of life, there is room to praise God. It helps make me well. Not just healed in the moment, but well, so that I can still praise God and do the work that I'm called to do, and encourage you to do the work that you're called to do. You have been grace for me. And I think Luke calls us to be grace for one another, and to see God's grace in the life and ministry and hope of the foreigner, of the stranger, of the immigrant, of the migrant, of the person who does not look or speak or see like we do. So in a little while, when we come to the table and we participate in the Eucharisteo, the thanksgiving of God at that altar, we begin to see, as the foreigner did, that God is making us well, and to live in the gratitude of God's grace. Amen.